Hello, hello. This is Interneted. I'm Michael Bird.
And I'm Rob Murgatroyd.
And welcome to our show about tech, gadgets and the internet by a couple of blokes who are always being asked how to fix most of it. Isn't that right, Rob?
You are spot on, Michael, all the time.
Thank you.
All the live long day. But yeah, welcome everyone. Welcome to Interneted. On this show, we'll be keeping you informed with all the latest tech news and the coolest and most interesting things from around the internet. We like to think of this show as your indispensable guide for everything worth knowing about the internet this week.
Preach it, brother. So buckle up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show from two blokes in our spare bedrooms. This is Interneted.
Oh yes, right. Let's kick things off with our weekly tech roundup. Each week we'll both be bringing the most interesting bits of news from around the world of tech. We do the hard work, we really do. We sift through the anti-sand beach towels. Yeah, they finally cracked it. Get rid of sand forever. The Star Trek baby monitors and swimming enhancing sandals. So you don't have to.
Ooh. Swimming enhancing sandals, is that flippers? Because I think they've already been invented.
It's like flippers, but more comfortable.
Yeah.
But they have the same effect. They've got basically sandals with fins on them.
Oh, yeah.
So
they pop out to make
That's the Gen 2. They haven't quite got to that level yet. It's just sandals with some bits on the side.
I do hate sand as well. That's the reason why I kind of prefer the pool. So okay. An anti-sand beach towel. But I suppose you'll still get sand in your sandwiches.
Well, that's the danger. If it's anti-sand, sand hits that beach towel, it pings straight off, straight into the sandwich. So, you know.
All right. Well, should I bring my item of news this week?
Bring it. Bring it on.
Bring it. So, do you remember? I think it was last week or the week before. I know last week we talked about WWDC, but a few weeks ago we talked a little bit about there was a rumor that Microsoft was going to be releasing a new version of their operating system.
But how was that possible?
I know.
I thought Windows 10 was forever.
This is the thing, right? So Microsoft, when they announced Windows 10, they said, this is the last version of Windows you'll ever have to buy. We will basically keep this updated forever. You know, just constantly be updating it.
Yeah.
And you and I, we both worked in the world of tech, enterprise tech. And this was the thing we were telling customers. We were saying to people, you know, businesses and organizations that were buying Windows, you don't need to ever update it. That's the beauty.
Yeah,
So you don't need to change it. They'll just send updates, little updates, you know, over the air, over time. You'll just keep Windows 10 forever. This is what they have been saying for years.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, there were some rumors.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, there was some leaks. And then Microsoft have announced an event. I think it's for this week, the 25th at 11 a.m. 11 a.m. Must be Eastern time, something like that. And the rumor is that they're going to announce Windows 11. And that was all it was. It was all just a rumor until the actual whole operating system leaked. So the whole Windows 11... It's not a secret anymore because Windows 11 has leaked, and I've not installed it myself, but I've seen a couple of videos, I've seen quite a few screenshots, and my thoughts are it doesn't look much different from Windows 10. There's a few big visual changes. So out the box, the start menu and all of the kind of programs and things that you have pinned. Yep. You know the icons that you have static stay there at the bottom of your screen. They're now centralized by default.
Is there another operating system that has a very similar model to that with icons in the center? I can't think of its name.
Mac OS.
Oh, yeah, that's the word.
Mac OS has that. And the start menu looks a bit different. It looks a bit strange. And by default, the search and the start menu are separate, I think. So, you know, now on Windows, you can press start and just start typing.
Just typing. But maybe not everyone knows that you can just start typing.
Maybe that's it. So there is a search button and a start button. I think if you press the start button, you start typing, it will probably bring up the search button.
Interesting. So is a whole new operating system, do we know if people are going to buy it or if it will be a free upgrade or if it's
That's the thing. I think a lot of people are being a little bit skeptical about this because it doesn't look like much has changed under the hood, as they say, i.e. Under the, you know, apart from all the flashy, you know, visual elements of it, it doesn't look that actually how the kind of mechanics under the behind the scenes have changed. It essentially operates the same as Windows 10 is what people are saying so far. They haven't, you know, this has just been a leaked build. It's not even a final version.
Right.
It's not even a beta version. It's not even
So somehow managed to find it and get access to it. And it's so, I mean, I think the biggest thing, as we all know, is the change in the default wallpaper, which they have changed. So to me, you know, that's it. That's,
you know, it's a new operating system.
Worth the upgrade.
And actually the wallpapers are pretty cool. Now, the interesting thing is, so Microsoft started working on and released a version of Windows 10 called Windows 10X, and it was designed to be for dual screen devices. So they were, I think, I can't remember what they were called, it, but it was like the Surface, I think it was called the Surface Duo. I don't know if it actually exists, but it was basically, if you imagine like like two iPads stuck together with like a hinge in the middle, like that's kind of like two tablets stuck together.
A bit like a laptop with two screens. Yeah.
And so they developed Windows 10X for that. That kind of got shelved. But what a lot of people are saying, the visuals look very similar from Windows 10X. Right. So this isn't like a massive change, a massive difference. It looks like it's really just an incremental update. I mean, from the looks of it, it's not much different from a Windows 10 generational update. You know, they were releasing updates every year, and some of the visual changes were quite stark. And so it looks a little bit like that, basically.
So are we thinking that it's going to be free?
I don't
know. People to download? Hedge your bets. Go on. Put your neck on the line. Risk your whole career on this.
I think it probably will be free. And the reason why I think that is because they gave out Windows 10 for free with Windows 8. It was an auto upgrade. So I would be surprised if they didn't, because I think Microsoft nowadays don't really make much money on the operating system. Like, their business model, I think, has changed. It's all about the subscription.
Yeah.
They want you to subscribe to Office or other tools like that. So I think it will be a free upgrade if you've got Windows 10. But we shall see.
I think there would be quite a big outcry of anger if they made you pay for it after having made such a big song and dance about never having to buy an operating system.
I think there will be. The other thing actually worth noting is they're bringing back widgets. Woohoo! They had widgets in Windows Vista.
Let's try and not talk about Windows Vista.
And the widgets were probably the only cool bit of Windows Vista. They had, you know, so widgets are basically there's like tiny little apps that you could like move around your screen, and they had like a little circular clock. And do you remember they had almost like a gauge where you could have like the CPU usage and I think your memory usage?
I do remember that.
So they've got widgets, and I think
the one I always used to use was the Pac-Man widget. You could have Pac-Man on your desktop ready and waiting for you.
And they changed snap controls. So you know how you can move programs to one side or the other side of a screen. It looks like there's better support for multi-screens as well if you have more than two monitors. And they changed some of the icons for Windows Explorer, which I'm not a massive fan of, if I'm honest. But we shall see. And again, this is all brand new. Oh, and they've changed the default startup sound, which isn't really all that big. But there we go. Wow.
Well,
so that's all the stuff that has been leaked so far. By the way, this could all be a big old joke by Microsoft, but I don't think it is.
I don't think it will be. I think I've seen too many different sources talking on it now. I just wonder how they're going to talk about this. Are they going to go big, or is it going to be
it's a proper launch event. They've got a proper launch event planned. I think they're going to go quite big with
it. But are they going to say this is the new Windows, or are they going to say we've released an update?
event
for an update.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. So it's this week. I think it's the 25th. So we will explain all the details next week, and they'll probably release a beta version next week, which is what, you know, a little bit like what Apple does. As soon as they announce it, they'll hand a beta out to developers so they can have a play around with it. So I think that's probably one of the biggest items of news this week. Windows 11. You may not have heard it here first, but you may have heard it here second.
if it is true. So, something I have, and something where the dust is finally settled after the big hoo-ha of E3 2021.
Hoo-ha.
That is the one.
Oh, yeah. E3. So E3 is... What does E3 stand for? Electronic Entertainment...
Electronic 3. Yeah, so it's Electronic 3.
What does it stand for? Everyone, everywhere.
Everyone, everywhere, electronics. Yeah, yeah. Easy, easy, easy. E3.
A. Electronic.
There you go. That's the end of it. For anyone that doesn't know, E3, whatever it stands for, is the annual gaming conference. It's the biggest event in the gaming calendar where lots of the big game developers and publishers come together and they showcase all their brand new shiny games and make lots of wonderful announcements and put out trailers, and everyone in the gaming world gets very excited. So I thought we should...
Googled it.
What does it stand for? Go on.
It stands for Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Yeah. Not quite as funny as
Electronic.
So I thought I'd cover some of the biggest announcements.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Wow. Someone's very excited for this. So something I'm personally quite interested in, even if I can't play it, the game publisher Bethesda, who have made games such as The Elder Scrolls and the Fallout series, big open world RPG game series. They have finally released the trailer for their brand new property called Starfield. This was something they announced and showed a trailer for back in 2018, I want to say. It's their next big thing that they're working on. And in a classic Todd Howard way, he said, this is the game you'll want to play in the future on the hardware you want to use, or something like that.
When is it going to be coming out?
He's hyping it up. It is going to be coming out in November 2022, so still a while away. And actually, 2022 is looking to be a big old year for gaming. Pretty much everything we saw announced or had trailers for this year, E3, is coming out next year. So
is that because of the pandemic? Was there a bit of a slowdown?
The pandemic will definitely be having a big impact on that. And it's also been having an impact on the number of dedicated games for next generation consoles. So we know we've got the PS5 and the Xbox Series consoles. There haven't been too many exclusive next gen games on those.
Yeah.
And that's partly because of development being hampered, but it's also partly because people just haven't been able to access as many of those consoles. So game publishers want to be able to develop games for the old generation where there's more people using it. But this happens every time there's a new generation of consoles. There's about a 2-year period where people make games for the last year and last generation and the next generation. Yeah. Anyway, Starfield is coming, and it's been touted as Skyrim in space, or a Han Solo simulator. We don't really know too much about the gameplay details, but it seems to be about exploring the untamed frontier of space. You're part of a big company, a big corporation, which is exploring the outer reaches of space. And so I'm assuming you'll be going to different planets and seeing what's happening there.
A bit I played Outer Worlds, which was it was made by the people that left Bethesda.
Yeah, so they made Fallout New Vegas. The team dedicated to that then made The Outer Worlds.
Yeah, which is kind of
a similar concept.
Yeah, you kind of explored planets and stuff. It was a bit. Yeah. It was a little bit. I completed it quicker than I thought I would. I kind of had this expectation that it was going to be like a Fallout, and it was going to take me about 4 years to complete. But it took me about a month or something to complete it.
Well, I think this new Starfield could potentially be up your street. It's made by the people that made Fallout, and they're saying it's a new experience. It's a brand new world, new characters, new.
Is it a whole new world?
Whole new world. Yes. Thank you for that. So, what else have we got? Something we're both probably quite big fans of.
And Breath of the Wild 2. Gasp,
there you go. There it is.
Electric Boogaloo.
Zelda Breath of the Wild 2. We still don't know its proper title yet. Everyone's just calling it Breath of the Wild 2 for the time being. I'm imagining it'll still be something of the something format. But they've
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild. It's the original one, yeah. But yeah, so Nintendo had a showcase at E3, And actually, it was a surprisingly small section dedicated to this, which is probably their biggest game coming out. They had maybe a 2-3 minute section in their hour long talk. So yeah, they've released a new trailer which shows Link falling from the sky. I think a lot of the game is going to be set in floating islands in the sky.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. I think this, so, and this was a rumor that went on a while ago, they're still using the same map as the first game for the as an asset, so you can still access all the locations that you could in the first game. But they're now adding a new layer by being able to go on these islands in the sky. We're not quite sure how extensive these islands will be, how many of them there will be, what will be on there. But it's a whole new area to explore and new abilities. There's time manipulation with be able to send objects back in time, which has lots of implications for all the puzzles and gadgets and everything that you can do in the game. Yeah, we're all very excited. But unfortunately, as I said, with everything else, you have to wait till 2022 to play it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that game. Yeah. I did watch the trailer and it did look pretty cool. Like, I'm a bit worried. It's really hard. It's like, this is going to be like Toy Story 2, isn't it? Like,
it's a tough one, tough act to follow.
It's a real tough act to follow.
Coming out that hard with the first game and then, yeah.
Because you can't just repeat what you did before because people will be bored of it. Like, you need to, they need to.
That's why they're playing, they're walking a thin line by having the same map as the last one. Because part of the big joy of the first game was just being able to explore the map and finding all these things that you'd never seen before. So having the same map is a bit of a risk. But we will see how they do it. You know what, the first game was so incredible that I trust them at this point.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And there's lots of little mysteries in the trailer as well. Did you notice that Link's right arm was now robotic, had some sort of strange new addition to it? He's let his hair down, literally. So he's now got flowing locks. Yeah, there's lots of little mysteries in there as to what's going on, what's happening with
Link.
Zelda.
Link! Yeah.
Link! What will she be doing? We don't know. So that's another big one. What else came out? We had a new look at, there's an Avatar game. So
Avatar
the blue people. Avatar the blue ones.
Blue Man Group.
Avatar the blue man group, yeah.
There's supposed to be an Avatar film coming out like 10 years ago.
There are supposedly 5 Avatar films coming out in total. And this game is supposedly going to come out just before the second film is released. You know, they're going to keep making these films until at least 2029.
They took too long for them to come out.
Really a sequel at this point. It should basically just be a reboot of the franchise.
Wasn't it 2009 the original Avatar came out?
Yes, I want to say yes. That is,
I remember seeing it in Southampton. One of my friends was at university there, and he is not university anymore. 2009 it came out. Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is going to be almost 13 years between the first one and the second film.
That is crazy. Avatar 2 is supposed to be coming out next December, December the 16th, 2022.
Yep.
And Avatar 3 is supposed to be coming out December the 20th, 2024.
Yep. So a lot of people actually saw this trailer for the new game and they thought, is this a trailer for the new film? But it's not. There is a game to go along with it, which, as we all know, movie games are always fantastic.
They are. Name a single good movie. Oh, GoldenEye on the N64.
The old James Bond games and also the old Lord of the Rings games are pretty much the only exceptions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Although the James Bond games I played were never the ones that had movies. The one that I really liked was...
Nightfire?
Nightfire! Mm-hmm. Nightfire, that was it.
You can still play that today. Come round to mine, we'll play it.
Yeah.
Okay, go. Have a competition. I'll be Odd Job, you be James Bond.
Nightfire.
Have a good time.
Nightfire. Okay. That was such a good game.
Speaking of movie games, there's also a Guardians of the Galaxy game that is going to be released, so you can play as Star-Lord.
Okay.
People were a little surprised by this. There's a recent Avengers game that was released fairly recently, I think it was last year, and that came out to very middling reviews, but this is now a completely different take on it. It's a single player only, whereas the other one was sort of online and followed the same vein as many other games that have sort of flopped recently, but they're taking a slightly different spin on it, so... We shall see. I mean, there was so much announced, but I won't go into too much. But lots of games are coming out, and pretty much all of them in 2022. So keep an eye out.
What game are you most looking forward to, apart from Breath of the Wild.
And apart from Breath of the Wild.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater on Nintendo Switch and the new Pokemon game for Switch. Apart from those three.
Well, the new Pokemon game for Switch wasn't even talked about. They didn't
was it not? I thought it has got a release date of next year, though, hasn't it? 2022? January 2022 or something?
Allegedly, yeah, but they didn't show anything, which concerns me a little bit. I think they're still working manically behind the scenes. I think, actually, the game that stole my heart with its trailer was The Outer Worlds. The Outer Worlds 2 has a fantastic
trailer. The one that we talked about a bit earlier.
Is it that one? I thought...
We talked about Outer Worlds a bit
earlier.
There's
The Outer Worlds and there's The Outer Wilds, and I don't know which one you've
Outer
played.
Worlds 2, right. I played Outer Worlds. The Bethesda
Obsidian.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Obsidian, yeah.
So there's a sequel coming to that game, and... I think they nailed it. They basically just did a mixtape of other game trailers, exactly other game trailers, which actually came out maybe minutes before their game trailer came out from the same company. So I thought it was just quite funny. Bit of a mixtape. So go watching that when you can.
But the whole game is like centered around, like, it's all a bit of a joke about capitalism.
Exactly. It's all a social commentary, bit of a mictake. But the game I'm actually most excited for is the new game from Software. From Software, developed with Dark Souls games. And there's a new collaboration with George R.R. Martin and the founder of From Software. So that's going to be a very interesting fantasy... difficult game where I'm going to throw my controller. Oh, wow. There's someone coming in the background to come and tell me I'm going to run.
The old biker gang coming to get you again.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. It's called Elden Ring, and that's also coming out in, you guessed it,
2022.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. Should we go from games to work?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Let's do it.
So Microsoft, we talked about Windows 11. This is something connected but quite different. So they've announced this thing called Fluid Office. There's this new concept that they are going to be launching in Microsoft Teams, OneNote, and other applications. And it's have you ever used like Google Docs where if you kind of you can all edit at the same time? You can kind of do that already in Word. I mean, we do that with the document that we use to plan our shows. But this looks like that, but on steroids.
Yeah.
So the whole concept is you are in a Teams meeting and it automatically pops up this big whiteboard and everyone can type and draw and move stuff around and add stickers and all that stuff all at the same time. And then that thing that you create becomes almost like an application in itself, like a living thing. And you can move that into different parts of Office. You can move it into an email, into a Word document, into a OneNote document, and you can kind of carry on collaborating.
It's a strange thing, isn't it? It's like a snippet of a document, but instead of just having to open a Word document in Word, you could then take it and, like you say, put it into an email, or you could put it back into Teams, into a chat, and then edit it in there, and it'd be the same document that you could then move back into a full document in it. It's clever. It's very clever. I don't like the word that they've used for it. It's like Liquid Word or Microsoft Fluid.
What I think is interesting is that they were developing this before the pandemic, and then they kind of halted development on it so they could focus on further developing the video elements of Microsoft Teams, which kind of, if anyone's using them, you've seen it's kind of, there's been lots and lots of developments in Microsoft Teams over the last year. So they're now putting energy back into this. And I think it's going to be quite, if companies use it, if people use it, I think it'll be really, really useful. A bit worried it'll be one of those things that people can't quite figure out how to use. Sometimes with Microsoft, it can be a bit hit and miss.
It really can. I think the whiteboard feature has been around for a little while. It's been out for a while, but almost no one in my company has ever used it.
I've never used it. No.
People tend to just ignore these things. Unless they're explicitly told this is what it is and this is what you use it for, it's very easy to ignore.
Or unless it pops up. Unless it's like, as soon as the team meeting opens, it's there. But I don't know. But so we'll see. We'll see if it gets used. But I thought that was quite an interesting thing. So just... if you're using Microsoft Teams, keep an eye on that landing fairly soon. I think it's coming over the next few months, over the summer, I think.
Lovely. Well, you know me, and I like talking about Android.
Yeah.
My little Android phones. something happened this week, and I think it may have been coming for a little while, but the brand OnePlus is officially, when I say officially, it's now heavily merging with the parent company Oppo. They haven't called it a merger. They're not saying it's fully being bought out or integrated into Oppo, but they're saying it's heavily integrated into it, which is a bit strange. I don't really know the business reasons behind this, but basically what it means is that the OnePlus team will now have access to a larger pool of resources. For anyone that doesn't know, Oppo and OnePlus basically make the same phones. They just brand them slightly differently. So what usually happens is Oppo will release a phone in a year. They'll call it, for example, the Oppo 9. And then 2 months later, OnePlus will release a phone which has almost identical design, very similar features, but is usually slightly cheaper than the Oppo one. I don't really know why this is a thing, but it sort of makes sense for them to integrate together.
Interesting.
So yeah,
why they do that?
I think they are very closely linked in their inception, and the founder of OnePlus used to work at Oppo, so they sort of take it as a separate channel and built it out that way. Yeah. And actually, the OnePlus brand has been a lot bigger in Western markets, but Oppo is huge in the Asian markets. Which is why we haven't really heard about them much in this sort of region, but actually Oppo is a huge player, so having that integration is going to really be beneficial for OnePlus. And they say that the benefits will be potentially cheaper manufacturing, so cheaper phones, improvements in charging, because Oppo are a leader of super fast speedy charging, and more regular software updates,
which is good. That's good.
It's good. All good things. So not really sure why it's happening or what to officially brand it, but basically they're working together a bit more, and that's beneficial for everyone.
So you and I both are fans of the brand Sonos, aren't we? And we've been they announced a speaker this year, which was the Roam, and that was a Sonos branded speaker. And this week or last week, they announced a collaboration or a continuation of their collaboration with the homeware brand IKEA.
Yes.
So IKEA, who make
love it,
famously make flat pack furniture, amongst other things. And they already have a couple of speakers that they do with IKEA. They do one that's in the shape of a lamp, basically a lamp with a speaker in it. And another one that they call the bookshelf speaker, which is essentially quite a rectangular speaker that you can mount to the wall and use as a bookshelf. So this week, I managed to catch a bit of the live stream that was there this week. I could only handle about 5 minutes. It was too much corporate for me.
It was too good to watch.
It was a lot of. So what does this mean? What does the art mean?
Peel the onion behind the Sonos. Peel the
onion. What's the low hanging fruit? It was a lot of
corporate speak. Let's do some blue sky thinking on this one.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But once they got to what it actually was, they announced a really interesting speaker. Actually, I'm in two minds whether it'll sell well or not, but I'm certainly interested. I think it's a really clever concept. So it's a speaker that is a picture frame. So it's about, I don't know, 60 centimeters by maybe 50 centimeters, or maybe 60 by 40 centimeters. There or thereabouts. I haven't actually got the specs in front of me, so I can't tell you exactly how big it is. But it's about 5 centimeters deep, maybe. It's quite thin, and you mount it on the wall. And I haven't heard any reviews about how it sounds, so I'll be really interested to hear about that. But it's really flat, and it has essentially like an artwork on the front, and you can take that artwork off, and you could stick a different bit of artwork on. And IKEA will be selling different designs. So the idea being is you mount this on the wall, somehow hide the cable, or you paint the cable the same color or whatever, and it becomes kind of hidden. It just looks like a piece of art on your wall.
I love where Sonos is going with this partnership. Mm. Like I want there to one day be like a challenge house where you go around a room and you try and identify all the different objects that could be a Sonos speaker. It's like a cushion. You're like, is that a Sonos speaker? It could be. Anything could be now.
Yeah, a door handle.
Know. The floor. The whole floor is a speaker. Didn't get that one, did you?
I think it's a really interesting idea. And the other cool thing is you can put them in stereo mode, and it looks like you compare them with sound bars. So the play bar, what have you got? What's yours called again?
Sonos Arc.
The Arc. So they're basically sound bars, so you can put them in stereo mode, and they even have a way where you can power one of them directly from an outlet, and then you can daisy chain them together. Oh, so basically, you know, rather than having to, you have two outlets, you can kind of daisy chain them across the wall.
That's cool.
They come in white and black, and they've got this kind of, it's almost like a, I don't quite know how to describe it, like a mesh design on the front, which I think looks quite cool. I've seen on the internet they're a bit divided over whether or not people will like it or not, but I think design's,
I think they're really cool. I think it's, you could almost design it so for people that have home theater systems, you could design it, because in theaters, in actual cinemas, they've got those big square speakers along the wall. You could have the same sort of thing, or even on the roof. I know a lot of people have been calling out for Sonos to add the ability to put their standard Sonos One speakers on the roof and have those as down-firing speakers for atmospheric effect in films. But
because they have these flat ones. 5.1 at the moment, don't they? 5.1 surround sound. They don't support any more speakers. But I wonder if they'll start to.
Because that would be amazing. To have something flat on your roof, it's far less bulky and obtrusive than a standard Sonos One speaker. So that could be cool. The possibilities are very cool with that.
If Sonos need to make some money, they should just release a software update that allows you to do 7.1 surround sound. Immediately, people will go out and buy some more speakers, won't they?
100%. Lots of people, so many people will be like, right, can do it now.
Done. Yeah. So the price is quite pricey. So $200 is the price in US dollars. So we'll see what that's going to be in pounds. Probably £175, something like that. I haven't seen when it's going to be released. But it will have AirPlay 2, so if you're an iOS user, that's very, very useful. July the 15th is when it's going to be coming out.
Nice.
So that's very, very useful. So yeah, I think that's I love their collaboration. I really like what they're doing. I'm really, really excited to see what they release next. I'm super tempted, really, really tempted.
You could use it anywhere. You could put it. So I'm looking. I'm sitting at a desk here, and there's a picture frame above me. I could just replace that with a speaker. You could use it in so many different locations. I think that's a great move.
So I'm looking forward to seeing from the middle of July some reviews about how it sounds, because a lot of people are like, oh, it's not going to be very bassy. It's going to be very, very.
You never know. But Sonos, Sonos are great with their sound quality.
That's their thing. They know what they're doing.
Right.
Well, next on the script, there is a blank space.
I've been very busy this week, Michael. I haven't been looking at news. Thank you very much, sir.
You've been too busy. All right. Well, I'll keep going then. So the last thing that I had on my list was YouTube. Now YouTube and their iOS app. I have a love hate relationship with YouTube because every flipping time on the app, pop-up comes up and it says, do you want to buy YouTube Premium? No, I don't. And then you open up, do you want to buy YouTube Premium? No, I don't. No, I really don't. Oh, do you want to buy YouTube? I don't. But do you want to buy YouTube Premium? No.
What? I know people that have bought YouTube Premium and then they glitched it and it still came up with adverts with, do you want to buy YouTube Premium? Oh, my goodness.
I think I don't even know what YouTube Premium is. I probably would have bought it if it wasn't so annoying. I think you don't pay. You don't get any adverts or something on YouTube Premium. But anyway, one of the things that it used to do was if you watched a video and then pressed the home button, i.e. to kind of close YouTube, it would pop up again and say, oh, do you want picture in picture? i.e. do you want to be able to watch YouTube videos when the app's closed? Because a lot of people used to play music through YouTube to not have a Spotify, if they don't got Spotify or anything. And YouTube basically hacked it so it would stop when you close YouTube and it would pop up and say, do you want to keep playing? Buy YouTube Premium. Anyway, it looks like YouTube will stop doing this on its iPhone app. So they're going to be allowing picture-in-picture. It's going to be slowly rolling out, firstly to premium subscribers, but eventually everyone was going to have it in the US. But it looks like that'll probably roll out worldwide. It's probably just that'll eventually roll out. So YouTube taking a little while to release this. And
what will the benefit be for people that do have premium? Just the lack of adverts. Oh, I think you can play YouTube while locking your phone as well.
That's it. You'll still get adverts. You'll still get adverts for YouTube Premium. But what you will be able to do is play a video, press your home button, open another app, and the video will keep playing, which is quite useful For example, if you're wanting, if you're watching, looking at an app of like, I don't know, how to bake a strawberry cake. I don't know. Is a strawberry cake a thing?
Cake. What are you having?
So I'm going to have a strawberry cake. And it's like, okay, guys, your ingredients are, and then you open the Notes app and you type all the ingredients. At the moment, you can't do that because it closes. So what you should be able to do is the video will keep playing. You can take notes. It's quite useful for things like that. If you're making a strawberry cake.
Cake. Everyone's favourite. Does iOS support that with any other apps? Does Netflix or Twitch or anything? They do that. Okay.
Yeah, so Netflix does, yeah. So Netflix, Twitch, Amazon Prime, Video, Disney. Sorry, Amazon Prime Video. That's a new line. I was reading.
Video. brand new app.
The hot new streaming app called
Video.
Video.
Now Disney playing Plus. Strawberry Cake.
Yeah, strawberry cake. What, is a strawberry cake a thing? I'm sure you can have a strawberry.
Just replace the flour with strawberries and then replace the eggs with more strawberries. Put it in the fridge. Done.
What do you replace the eggs with? Strawberries.
Strawberries. What about the strawberry jam in the middle?
Strawberries.
Ooh, just strawberries. Just strawberries. Strawberries.
And you just melt, you put it all together, put in like a blender, and then you put it in the fridge, put it in the oven for 20 minutes, gas mark 3, and then...
gas mark 3. Barely on.
I don't know.
And then you're done. Boom. Everyone's favourite. Strawberry cake.
See you later. Strawberry cake. apparently YouTube this feature has been available since iOS 14, which is the launch last year.
Yeah.
YouTube have taken a little while to release it. Apparently, it's because YouTube, the way they build their app is different. The way they do their videos is different to the way that other apps do it. And they've kind of locked it down. So yeah, that's the news.
Nice.
Anything else? Anything else,
Rob? Absolutely nothing from me.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Let's move on.
All right. Well, that is then it for our tech roundup. That's it. Yeah, that's it for our tech roundup. Oh, yes. Okay. We'll be back with part two of Interneted right after this. You're looking forward to this.
I can't wait. This is my favourite part of the show. Everyone will see why in a second. So, what is it time for, Michael? I think it's now time for the part of the show that we call...
Here are the cool things we have found on the internet this week.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Wait for the drop.
Yes. It is. So... as the name of this feature suggests, we have been weeding through the web, navigating the net, scouring search engines, ransacking Reddit, going from A to B on HTTP. That's probably my favourite. Getting fitter by using Twitter, getting our fix of Netflix, having an oogle of Google, looking at a ream of memes, a throw of DuckDuckGo, and a regroup of YouTube. to find the coolest things on the internet for you, dear listener. Rob, what are the rules?
Well, the rules of the coolest thing we found on the internet this week are there are no rules, except that's not true. Each week, we both bring the coolest thing or things that we found on the internet this week. Apart from that, there really aren't very many rules. As long as you can find it on the internet, we can talk about it. So whether it's an interesting fact, a cool TV show or film on a streaming service, a brand new recipe for strawberry cake, anything and everything, all of the time. Michael, do you want to have a go first? What have you seen on the internet this week?
Okay, so what have I found this week? So... There's a film I watched recently, which I have to say, honestly, one of the strangest things I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be a comedy. It kind of was a bit of a horror. It was a bit of bizarreness, but it was one of the greatest, one of the most amazing pieces of film I've seen in a long time.
Okay.
Probably because of my age and because of, I guess for both of us, like, the kind of generation that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this comedian, musical comedian, a bit like you know, is a comedian that plays songs. Tim Minchin, you know, how he kind of writes funny.
Australian, yeah.
So this guy is called Bo Burnham, and he released a Netflix special called Inside. And the premise is that he filmed it during lockdown. And he filmed it, edited it, produced it all by himself. And the whole premise is that he's stuck in this room and he has to make a special. That's kind of the premise. Mm-hmm. And it starts off with the whole thing, the songs are incredible. He is a fantastically talented man in terms of the lyrics, the music, the production, the fact he's basically on his own in this room. It's just amazing. It looks so good. But what happens is that it starts and you laugh at some of the jokes. You find it funny because the jokes are really funny at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it kind of
it descends, doesn't it?
Very, very dark.
Yeah.
And it becomes this kind of like commentary on how people dealt with their mental health during lockdown, how people's mental health deal with stressful times. He yep. addresses things like anxiety and depression and loneliness,
social injustice. He has a commentary on so many different things, but in such a genius way that you're not even aware that what's being talked about sometimes, and then you go and think about it, and you're like, oh, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think I need to go and watch again. Mm. But it was amazing. One of the things that happened is he turned 30 whilst he was filming it, and he did this whole thing about turning 30. I turned 30 last year, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so true.
You know, he's written this for you.
He's written it. He's like he was singing it to me.
It was.
So you've seen that, haven't you, Rob?
I have. We were gushing about this special before we came on this show, and I absolutely found it. It was. I described it as like a car crash. You just can't look away from it. You're so intrigued by it, you can't look away. But it also is scarring.
It was just amazing. It was brilliant. So the music, I can highly recommend it.
Music is awesome. Like he's yes. released it as a separate as a soundtrack on Spotify. I'd thoroughly recommend going to watch it first. But anyone that's seen it, go and listen to the songs again on Spotify.
Some absolute bangers there.
What's your favourite song from the show?
Well, there's a song. There are so many. Welcome to the Internet. Is a very, very good. It's a song fantastic. That really, really spoke to me. It's just all about, basically, it's kind of satirical look at the internet, and it's kind of billed as this, like, it's kind of got like a circusy sound to it, a little bit like this song, you know. It's a bit like just a bit weird, but better, much, much better than this song.
No, don't say that.
And and he kind of talks about how the internet has everything that you could ever want. And it just, as the song carries on, it just descends into this really dark place. It's of just
twisted,
like,
and
the internet is this place where you can do amazing things, but also it's really horrible. And just how, oh, it's just incredible. It's really, genius. Really good. What about you? What was your favorite song from it?
That was fantastic. I just love the visual and lighting effects. Just him on his own in one room, how he's able to create so many different sections, and every single song looked distinct from the other.
Bear in mind, it's this room he's in is really small. It's a really small, narrow tiny room with white walls, and he makes it look like just totally different thing.
I mean, do you think he was living there the entire time? Do you think he just locked himself in his room and lived there, or do you think he was able to leave this one time?
I think he was able to leave it. I think
you'd go insane living there.
I think a lot of, some of it's put on, some of it is not necessarily for the camera, but some of it is like art. There's an artistic license there.
But it is
just incredible. Yeah, there's this one bit I right at the beginning, so I'm not giving too much away, right at the beginning where he I can't remember what he's doing. The room's really dark, and he's kind of singing to the camera, and then he has like a head torch on, and he looks up, and the head torch kind of shines on a mirror ball, and the whole room changes. You know how a mirror ball, when it switches on, changes how the whole room feels. And so he does it when he hits the chorus, and then he comes back down, and it just changes the feel of the song. It's just so clever.
So clever.
There are bits where he puts layers upon layers upon layers, like just. I was just thinking about like how you would set all those shots up on your own.
But how does he come up with the story, like the whole sort of sequence of everything going through? I mean, it does just show the natural progression of how we all dealt with lockdown, like you say. It's, we all started off a bit jovial and a bit like, oh, we can do this. And then we just descended into more and
more. It did, yeah. It really, we should stop gushing about it, but it was fantastic, fantastic. Right, what have you got?
I've gone for a very different vibe for the coolest thing I saw on the internet this week. It's basically a giant rhino.
Oh, yeah?
So I saw an article this week that said China used to be roamed by the world's largest land mammal, which was a rhino.
How big was this rhino? Where did you find this fact?
My source is not Reddit. It was an article that was suggested to me by Google. They know me well. It's on the Metro, the one I'm reading at the moment. So the creature was 26 feet long and over 16 foot tall and weighed 24 tons. To give you a bit of context for that, it was four times the size of an African elephant, which is the current largest animal that walks the earth today. It was said to roam around about 26.5, I can't read numbers, million years ago. And was a herbivore, so it was a peaceful giant. And looking at the artistic sketches of it, they've basically just taken a tapir and zoomed in. They just made it real big, just made a giant one of those. That's what they seem to think it looks like. But yeah, it would roam around in its glory and eat lots of leaves. I just thought it was really cool. It was an animal that I didn't know existed. I was an absolute sucker when I was younger for walking with dinosaurs and
all
the prehistory CGI things. So seeing this, I wanted to make a special about this giant rhino. That is my coolest thing I saw on the internet.
All we haven't got, Rob, is an outro. So I'm gonna have to sing over the first few words, aren't I? If I give it a go.
Go on. Here we go.
End this.
The famous outro.
Those were the things we have found those on the internet this week. Didn't work, did it?
You've nailed that. You'll fix it in editing. It's fine.
Yeah. Fix it in post.
Fix it in post.
It will sound incredibly smooth.
It will sound perfect. So good.
Oh, cool. Is there anything else? Anything else you wanted to share? I mean, I know we already gave the outro, but
I think that's it. I think we'll save everything else for the next week.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. Well, with that, it is time for us to, of course, end the show. So thank you very much for joining us for this episode of Interneted. We do hope you enjoyed it. Internet is hosted. I went quite high then, didn't I?
Very high.
Internet is hosted, produced, and written by the incredibly talented Rob Murgatroyd, available for weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, and
funerals. Ooh.
I don't know what else. What else should be available for? Funerals and
General merriment.
General merriment. And me.
And you.
Assistant. Assistant and chief.
Assistant to the
regional chief. Manager. Michael Burt, that's me. Yes.
Wonderful. We are releasing episodes every week. So make sure you don't miss out on our next episode. And please hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast. And as always, don't forget to give us a bodacious 5-star rating.
Bodacious! Bodacious!
That's my word. Yours was cheeky, mine's bodacious.
You have. You've changed it in the script. What does bodacious mean?
It's official. Bodacious is, I mean, I've only ever known it as like an old surfer or skater term. Dude, that kickflip was totally bodacious. So
that's what it is.
That's what it is. It's a bodacious 5-star rating.
Well, there we go. Well, thank you very much. Thanks, Rob. And dear listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And we hope to see you next week for the next episode of Interneted. Bye-bye.
Bye.